Good evening, everybody. Monday night, 9 o'clock, Shabbat Shalom. My class is dedicated in memory of our beloved daughter, Yehudit Nechama, Sarah Chaim, and Rachel. My parents, Mr. and Mrs. Borenstein, and her children, and entire family. We appreciate this dedication. I hope it serves Le'ilui Nishmata. And this happens to be the annual dedication. I really appreciate the regular support of this family. I hope the words elevate the Nishmata. The book of Bereshit, amongst other names that it's called, if Yashar, is really the Sefer Ha'avot, the book of patriarchs. And we have the basic building blocks of Am Yisrael, how we became a nation. And how we became a nation. And Ve'ele Shemot, when we begin the book of Ve'ele Shemot, which begins with a Vav, it's Vav HaChibur, it's connecting hook, begins the Sefer, the book of the Torah, of the Banim, what happened to the children. The Torah describes to us the servitude of Am Yisrael and their redemption, giving of the Torah and of the Egel and the building of the Mishkan, tabernacle, all in the book of Shemot. The beginning of this exile is a little strange because if you look at history, in very few cases of a successful reign of prosperity for 80 consecutive years. And Yosef HaTzadik, renamed by Paro Tzapenat Ta'anea, was one who served as the viceroy of Egypt for 80 years. And those were 80 years of constant prosperity. And the Pasuk tells us, Ele Shemot Bnei Yisrael Habayim Mislama, Et Yaakov Ishu Beito Baal. These are the names of the Yehudim, children of Yaakov, the children of Israel, who are coming to Mitzrayim. That Yaakov, along with Yaakov, Ishu Betov Al, they all came. And it names them individually, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehud, Gad, Zebulun, Levin, Yamin, Dan, Asher, Hazar. Test in the first grade to promote Shabbatim. And from there, it tells us actually the development of the evolution of the slavery. The Seth Hayab in Mitzrayim, Seth was in Egypt. Yamos Yosef, before their father, before their daughter, and the Seth died, father died, others, and that generation. Entire generation, the Torah. Bnei Yisrael, Paru, Vayishutsu, Vayishu, Vayashu, Me'od, Me'od. It became a great nation. Akimalei Ha'aretz Otam, and the land was filled with them. Yaakov, Melech Hadash, Ha'atayim, Ha'shev, Ha'atayim. And a new king arose, a new Paru arose in Mitzrayim. He was not aware of Yosef. And he made horrible gezerot, horrible decrees. from the tossing of babies into the river, other dastardly plans to grow, to weaken the people of Israel. So Havan is Hakimalo, and you say, so that in case they might become many, Haman about, I'm an artist, maybe they'll fight with us and leave the land. He was very concerned. Before you know it, the place 110 years. You have to look at this. Try and understand how these few pisukim, tell us behind the scenes the analysis of why this servitude came about. Now, yes, it's true, it's a decree, prophecy to Abraham Avinu, and it's going to happen, We also have to look at the day-to-day events, the way the people behave, what would make this generation be the ones that happen to, etc. Why in all are the names being repeated? Why does it start with a vav, ve'ele, as if it's the continuation of a story? I just counted. Oh, you gosh. That's 70 souls. Count. What does that tell me? Hey, Yaakov, you came along with Yaakov. First of all, like, bow, Yaakov, bow, Yaakov, and Mishpachov, bow. Bow. Yes, Yaakov. It's very funny language. Ishu Beto, each one with his family. There's a lot of questions here. I want to go and focus on how they came down. What was the attitude of Yaakov Avinu? Yisrael Hashem, it's time to come down through the plan of drawing the mother into the calf. Yisrael Yosef is alive. He's the ruler of Egypt. He's inviting you to come. Gotta go. So rather than come excitedly and happily, Yaakov Avinu was frightened. He was a little leery of the whole idea of moving to a land that was Las Vegas, Atlantic City, Rio, and New Orleans. Paris, all rolled into one, and there's probably a couple of little places I don't know about, but you got the idea. All rolled into one, it's called the Shrine. In fact, even though we might excitedly think that he's going to run down to see your step, he was so depressed. Proof, brother has babies. So, he might think 20 plus years of mourning over the loss of Yosef. Now he finds out he's alive, he's going to want to go. Instead, he's fighting. And Hashem tells him, and commands him, Rez Mitzrayma. Go down to Mitzrayim. Anochi al Hagam Alo. Eventually I will also bring you back up from there. Now you might think, okay, now it sounds like from the Pasuk, he's afraid of it, but now we'll never get out. Mitzrayim means Mitzrayim, Tate, Soundy, all that. Okay. So, I'm going to explain to you what he was afraid of. He was afraid of the culture that they would be exposed to. So coming down, together with the ones that were already there, total 70 people. and coming to a place with millions of people who are morally depraved. That's what I said. We were dropping the ocean, as you said. What's going to happen? Probably assimilation. So what did he do? He sends Yehudah as a frontman, setup man. And what does he tell him to do? Find a business, get some nice apartments, we've got 70 people, maybe buy a small apartment complex. No, it says Le'oros. And the Mepharshim tell us, Yaakov Avinu said, if we're going there, we need a Beit Midrash. We need a place to educate my offspring in our way of living, the way of the Torah, closeness to Hashem, Yad Shamayim. And if I have that, I'm willing to go. Yeah, Hashem commanded him, good. He has his prerequisite. If I have that, that little booth of safety, this little island in the middle of all the immorality, our individuality, our uniqueness will be preserved. In fact, Goshen wasn't the suburb of the capital city. It was far away from the metropolitan capital city of the time. He wanted to be physically far away and philosophically far away from the lifestyle of the Egyptians. And Yosef was with him in that philosophy. Back when Paro invited his brothers to come to the palace and take a look at who they are, and the chef advised them, listen, he don't like shepherds. First of all, don't send the stronger guys. Send the ones that don't look so good. You know, we want to get the weaker ones. Although they were very powerful, mighty looking people, yet they were different heights, weights, and sizes. Don't send in the ones that were good soldiers. Send the other one. And not only that, make a point to say that your shepherds and your farmers, because they don't like those kind of people. They're avodah zarah, the sheep. So shepherds to them are lowlife. They don't treat their title with proper respect. So he gave them the plan so that Paro would say, okay, nice to have you, Yosef, send them to Goshen. Yeah, that's what he wanted. But the real reason, or the essential reason behind that, is to guard the uniqueness and the separateness of Amisrael. The Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says. And Yosef was in Mitzrayim. If you told me that, I'll tell you what we say in the Beit Midrash. That's a douche. That's a deal. That's no. He's been there for 80 years. He's the ruler. And now the Torah to come tell us his camp is in Mitzrayim. We've been hearing about it since Parashat Vayeshev. 4 weeks already. Even in Torah terms, that's a long time. Almost 10% of the Torah is the story of Yosef being in Mitzrayim. Now it's the fifth parasha mentioning Yosef, Yosef Hayav in Mitzrayim. Oh, really? Thank you for telling me. How the Pasuk wants to tell us, you know who was in Mitzrayim after all those years? They may have changed his name to Tzatzam, but Yosef, the one who believed like Yaakov, the one who learned his Torah from Yaakov, that's who's in Mitzrayim, eating his word. He's in ruins. And he wanted to protect his brothers and his family from that fate. He put them in Goshen, he got Paro to agree, name is Sam. Now let's look at those few pesukim. See how we end up in slavery. And continuing along the story, these are the names of the sons of Israel. The same name they had in Eretz Canaan. The same philosophy, the same ideas that they had. They continued with the love. And the Torah counts each and every one of them to say that they were all the same mind. Each mind is Yaakov. He came along with Yaakov's philosophy. Yishut, Ba'im means coming now. And that's to tell us in present tense, Ma'asei Avot, Siman Labanim, the ways of the four patriarchs were a portent to the future, our future. In every generation of exile, we have to accept this philosophy. Even today, in these three tolerant countries in which we live, we have to be like Yaakov and his family. What does it mean? It means we have to put all our effort, all our ingenuity, to protect our identity. What happened to them? Watch out. They honor to say before their father, before our daughter, who? And Yosef, the one who kept up the philosophy in the same time, on his brother's side, and that generation died, it wasn't only a physical death. And the new generation replaced them. They felt, you know, the old people, first generation, they came off the boat. They're from here. They're a little more modern. A little more educated in the ways of the country. You don't speak with accent from Kana'an. And with that comes the biggest mistake a Jew can make in exile. This new philosophy, which always follows the second or third generation, is that separation from the host nation's people is not healthy for us. On the contrary, the more we can become like them, the more we can become involved with them, the more we can dress like them, talk like them, walk like them, get involved in their politics, get in their culture, better off with it. That's what I tell us. That's what happened. The Israel Paru became very successful. The Israel Paru, they became like insects. Get it? I am who? They multiplied to many people. I am who? They became many, many times over. I see Malé, I audit. And the land became filled with them. Not they filled the land. Not they covered the land. They became part of the land. One becomes secretary of state. One becomes the head of a great corporation. One becomes a great professor in a college. One becomes a scientist working on the defense system. One is one of the main people in Microsoft. Hello, one is IBM. become important to the country. You know what happens at that point? A new type of reaction from a previously friendly host nation. They get scared. It's hard to hear about those people taking over. They're running the banks, they're running the government, and they're making all the moves. Then millions, hundreds of millions against a very small number comparatively, and suddenly they start saying, it happened in Spain, it happened in Germany, it happened there. He didn't keep the decrees of Yosef. What was the decree of Yosef? That the Jews should live separately in Goshen. They shouldn't mix. Now that everything's changed, the king also reacted differently. We left our self-imposed ghetto. We aroused certain feelings of anti. And he starts to say, "Hine am b'nei Yisrael rav va'atzum mimenu." He's taken over. Noti al kushim on his head, that's him alea, all it's all time. Checking. He says, the Jews started going to the theater and the sporting event. Miyad, Yadru, Alehem, Shishuna. Immediately when the Goyim saw that, they made the decree. Let me tell you about the Jews. Because we have to be close to that. We should know about that. So Yosef died, started to mix, and so that says Vayishetzu, a very negative type of reference that became a insect, Sheretz, one of the sources of Tum'an. Acts of Pono says Vayishetzu, Ahar Shemetu Kosri Nefesh, Matulu Dakesh Sheratim, it took on the behavior of destructive insects. And they started a new type of society. With all the pomp and circumstance, loyalty, kavod, and business, as you mentioned. Why did the love that the Mitzvim had for the Jew during the reign of Yosef turn to hate? That's what I want to focus on. Very important. Very unusual, I think. I was in what previously known as Leningrad. I know most of you have not been there. It's called Petersburg. And when you go down the street, there's a lot of statues of Lenin. And a lot of these things you only see like in movies, the big pictures of the theaters, you know, when you walk down the street. There's pictures of Lenin all over now. I got rid of Lenin a long time ago. But there were so many statues and pictures. The person who was taking me around, was a rabbi showing me around the path. major city palaces and beautiful places. Because there were so many pictures and so many statues that after they destroyed hundreds of them, there were still thousands left. They stopped destroying them. That's why you still see them around. Could you imagine the influence of your staff who 80 years was a ruler? I'm sure they wanted pictures all over the place. I can say. Told us to get him and turn to hate. There's still people like FDR. Most of the people turned out wrong. Another thing. It says in the Midrash, why were they redeemed? They didn't change their name, they didn't change their clothes, they didn't change their language. But the Brit Mila, they tried to change. Okay. You want to be like Egyptians, but they don't have a Brit. So, the part you couldn't see, they changed. But on the external, think about it a minute, external. The clothes, the language, and the name. Instead of naming their children Clint and Tara and fancy names, they kept up to the Uvain and Shimon. Not to name them. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their language. You are the mix. It's the people that live in. You guys speak English, right? And someone in France had to speak French. And someone in Russia had to speak Russian, or in Brooklyn you have to speak Russian. I don't know which it is. But you got to fit in. First thing you do is change the language. They didn't change the language. They didn't change it. Okay. At least the passion. You can tell me a kafia on your head. Nice turban. A little thing in the back to keep the phone off your neck in the desert. Something like Lawrence of Arabia. You wear long robes, a nice braided belt, a little fancy nice belt. Or you're going to wear Armani and Brioni. Like everybody else. You can wear the Gap and Old Navy. And people, look here. What are the three things they didn't change? The language, the name, and the clothing. Doesn't make sense. They tried to change the way the Brit Milah looked, and stopped doing the Brit Milah in many cases. Nobody could see that. The part that the obvious show that you are Jewish, they didn't change. In fact, I saw in the Sefer called Lev Shalom by the late Rabbi David Shalom, Alav Shalom, Mashkodron, Dekha Tadikli Bracha, and got a little paragraph from there. It's almost comical. So he said, they went to the theaters, they went to circuses, they probably went to the cult too. So he said, let's describe the Tahila Atmenu, the Achayan Reha Machabe. How the scene looked. In the evening, a Jew goes out. He describes the Beta Kirat Rosh Chodesh. He goes into a theater to dance, into a club to dance. He's wearing a black suit and a white shirt. Even a Uli Ashtaim Lalam show, that he even has a fur round hat on his head. And they go, man, and next to him is the Egyptian. Dressed in Egyptian clothes. Or half undressed in Egyptian clothes. And they're dancing close to each other and getting drunk. In the middle of the dancing, the Jew asks someone to start singing Yiddish songs. The music stops. And they change the tune. Think of the camaraderie between the Hasid and his Shtaimel and the club person and the semi-clad body with the painted face, multicolored hair, body pierced, whatever else they do today, I don't know. It must be something to get you into the front of the line. It looks right. Oh, this is different. And they're getting drunk together. And they're dancing together. Just the clothing, the name, and the language. Why didn't the Jews change their clothing? Why didn't they change their language? Why didn't they change their names to really fit in? Got it now? They didn't change the externals, and that's what sticks out. It's a principle. A principle that was taught to us by the Gentile prophet, the wicked prophet Bilam. In Am Yerachad Ishma. They're a nation that dwells in isolation. Everybody else suffers. What does that mean? What does that mean? You can't live alone. Much deeper than that. What Bilam means that in the essential roots of the Nishamot Yehudim, the basic essence of a Jew, is different from every other person that walks the planet. And that person called Yehudim is not able to mix like oil and water. You can pour oil into water? I do it every week. Set up my Nerot for Shabbat. I want to elevate the water higher. I need the oil. I want to get to sleep at some decent hour. And I want the oil to burn down to a relatively safe level. So I pour in some water. And then I pour in the oil. The oil goes down to the bottom when I squirt it out of the bottle. And it rises to the top. And you can shake and mix and rattle and roll. You ain't going to get that oil to mix with the water. You're going to have one layer of oil on top and one layer of water on the bottom. That's the Yehudi and any other nation on earth. You may want to mix, but you're not able to mix. That's what it means in Am Levadad Yishkon, they dwell alone. It's so deeply embedded in you, you may not even realize it. Never can we be just like them. That's how Hashem protects us. He implanted in us this difference. And they didn't even realize. That's why they didn't change their name. Major Kiddush, like Shvodon says, they didn't change their name, they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their language, not because they didn't want to, because they did somehow change the Milah, the Greek, and several other things. But these, they wanted to change, but they couldn't change. Lo Yachelu. They weren't able to. Because in Am Levadad Yishkon. Now, many times I've discussed the Kuzari. There's a famous book of Jewish philosophy. King, exceptions, rabbi, and they go back and forth and explains in that chapter, the holy book. When the world was created, there were four levels of creation. Certain elements were like rocks, almost inert. Then there was somea, something that grows, doesn't move around. It produces the wind and bumblebees. Then there's high, things that crawl around and fly, and animals, fly. And then there's Midaber, human being. All levels. And at Har Sinai, Hashem created the fifth level. Above all the other four. Yehudi. And just like the levels most high, say a cow, can't change itself into a plant. So too a Yehudi can never ever change himself into a goy. Amazing. You didn't know you had it in you, did you? Can't do it. So even though they may have wanted to assimilate and be just like them, it's like oil and water, it just doesn't work. You know, Rav Shlagon realized this is a very novel idea, and he has to support it. He says his proof is, when it came to the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, we learned that they had no zechut, had no merit to be released from bondage. Hashem gave them the mitzvah of putting the blood on the door and bringing the korban Pesach and doing Brit Milah on the night of Pesach, and now they had a couple of mitzvot, and they had the zechut, the merit, to save. And he says, no, they didn't change the name, and they didn't change their language, and they didn't change their clothes, and the face of all the society they lived in. Wouldn't that be a zechut to get them released? He said, yes, it would be. Except they didn't do it because that's what they wanted. They wanted to change. For the worst. They were not able to. It doesn't stand in their merit. They didn't guard these things knowingly from their own free will. They did want to change. And the now it sounds like that a Jew is different from a goy in behavior. We act different. Aren't we finer? Behavior. But it's not. It's an essential difference. That's because what he says, the difference between the rock and the plant is very wide. Okay, 500 miles. Between the plant and the animal, it's like 1,000 miles. And the animal and the human being is like 2,000 miles. But the human being and the Yehudi, the difference is immeasurable. I know I'm sounding prejudiced today. Those who don't believe in prophecies to believe now. But this is all true. Not only a difference in style, it's a difference in essence. And there's a danger to it. So the Yehudi has to seek out perfection. And if the Yehudi is not a person of the Shulchan Aruch, then that person will not feel satisfied in life. Not even one day. The neshama, the soul, has to be fed. And the soul can't be fed to the end of it. The soul cannot be fed sushi and filet mignon. The soul cannot be fed a beautifully decorated home with moldings and silk and moss. And the soul will not let a person sleep. Not rest and feel satisfied. the soul needs a certain type of food, and the things of this world are not that food. In fact, what's exciting about it is if Yehudi doesn't constantly climb towards Shelemut, towards spiritual perfection, he starts to slide down a very slippery mountain on a fireman's pole. It's very hard to stop. You don't stand still. You either go up or you go down. And when you go down as Yehudi, there's no bottom. The boy doesn't even feel this emptiness. They can buy things and feel happy. They can satisfy themselves with things that are full. A little bit of kavod, honor. A decent amount of money. They feel very happy. When they feel something lacking, it's lacking something physical. Another possession. But when a Yehudi feels dissatisfied, when a Yehudi feels something lacking, it's the neshama crying out for perfection. And that's why most of the stuff you chase doesn't work once you get to provide the happiness in the city. If the Yehudi feels an emptiness all the time, and the person thinks wrongly, that the more I live like those seemingly happy people all around me, Americans are very happy people, you know. America, we have everything. Sean in the afternoon, Holzberg at night, TV and movies and DVDs, wireless, vacation, Disney World, Vegas, whatever. And we think the more we live like them, the more we buy and acquire the things they chase, the happier we'll be, and yet, it's like a thirsty person drinking salty water. You only get thirsty. That doesn't go away. And especially today, the pasuk says, "Adam kebehemah nidmu." People resemble animals. Oh, animal wears no clothing. Doesn't need it. It's totally physical. In class, one day I'll explain it to you. My animals don't wear clothes and we do, except today, I have doggy hotels and doggy vacations and doggy clothing and doggy fashion and doggy design and jewelry, doggy hospitals, everything. They even have it for dolls now. There's a doll hospital. Isn't that cool? American Girl, American something, dolls or something? Hospital, you can see Holly from the hospital. Nowadays, where people live like animals, and they chase the desires of animals, and they think they're going to satisfy their soul, they got it upside down backwards. And so when they see an observant Jew sacrificing some of those things to achieve spiritual perfection, maybe living in Lakewood. Oh my goodness, how do they do it? 12 people in such a small apartment, and she has no car, and machines are down the hall, and not everybody gets their own shower. Sacrifice people. Don't be Shiva all day. Sacrifice all the beauties of this world. I'm going to pay it. Doesn't make sense, does it? They must be nuts. Let me tell you the normal person's life. You got this poor guy. He's starving. So he comes this building, he sees everybody's coming into an affair. He comes every Monday night, he sees things going on, parties coming in. Guy opens the coffin, he comes in, he looks like one of the regular guests, but who knows, maybe people dress today, maybe just come in cash. And so he comes in, he goes to the table, he sees this delicious food served in a sumptuous way. Yeah, how beautiful it looks up there. And as he starts stuffing his pocket full of food, he gets outside. Amazing, I went to the affair, I'm still hungry. You know? Up the street, there's another shul. I got a small shul, so I wonder if they have an affair. He walks in, sure enough, there's another affair. He goes in, peeks in, walks around. He's a great day crasher. He sees fantastic affair. He stuffs his pocket full of food. He walks out, I can't believe it. I'm hungry. I've been to 2 affairs already. And 3-4 affairs later, he's about to paint. Starving by now. He's working so hard, stuffing his pocket. Some guy walks up to him and says, what are you doing? I'm catching all this food because I'm starving. It's amazing. I've been to 3-4 affairs already. I'm so hungry. He says, yo. If you keep putting the food in your pocket, out of your mouth, you're going to drop from starvation. Food doesn't go in pocket. Food goes in the mouth. A Yehudi has built into him a desire for Yirat Shamayim, a desire for spiritual perfection. It's a hunger. It's a hunger of the soul to get close to Hashem. Yirat Elokim Litov. David HaMelech said it. Being close to Hashem is what's good for me. And instead of feeding the soul with Torah and its thoughts and learning and growth in the spirit, we walk around filling up our pocket. The body is the pocket of the soul. And we fill all the physical desires. Like that poor man. We don't understand. Until you put the food in your mouth, you're going to be hungry. So the only solution is to go to a place go to a place where you do chesed. Go to a place where you're involved in the mitzvot and feed your soul.
I
started with the outline of how Galut works. We're in Galut now, we're in exile. So we should know this stuff. We should pay very close attention to these two parashiyot of the Torah. It talks about the Galut, and it talks about the Geulah. It talks about the Shamsut, the exile, and it talks about the redemption. So you've got to know the mechanics of everything. In my feet, he turned to his children, he told each one a piece of his life. Some he gave a piece of his mind, some he gave a piece of his life. He tells Yitzchak, Hayan Menuchah Kito. Yitzchak saw that Menuchah, that word we use for rest, it's not really Menuchah, really. I call it a peace of mind. Shabbat is menucha. Menucha doesn't mean peace. Menucha means being rested, relaxed, fulfilled, satisfied. It's a feeling, menucha. There's no translation for menucha in English. I don't know what it's called, but maybe they put menucha. English way of saying it. Menucha. Haya menucha kito. Yitzchak saw that menucha was good. Ha'aret, yina'ema. And he saw the land that was pleasant. Hayet shechol is born. He put off, he took his shoulder down to his ball to work very hard. Toil. Does that pasuk make sense to you? I saw that resting was good and the land was very pleasant, so I went and toiled.
Hello, I should have gotten lounge and sat down and got some ice.
When you go out to New York, you crazy?
There was about a 57 degree difference between here and here on Friday, and by Saturday, Shabbat, I think here it was 8. And over there was 76. So there's a 70 degree difference, and I'm getting on a plane, kind of talking,
where are you going? You're crazy. So you see, the Menucha is good. You see, the land is good, it's pleasant. When are you going to toil? That's the result.
Great rabbi said,
yes, Shavar Shuto, there are things that are good, but they're not pleasant. And the things that are pleasant are not good. Not why? Cigarettes. People who like to smoke, I don't know who they are or what they are, becoming a rare breed. But people who like to smoke,
I love to be nice to have a cigarette.
One of the great pleasures in life to start my day with cigarettes. Can you read the label? I did it to your health. Did it kill you? Yeah, my uncle smoked for back to day with us. But you know it's bad. I know it's bad, but it's nice. Relax. I don't smoke. So that's something that's present. No, it's not good. And the thing that is good, and that's so pleasant. Life in Kolel, without making the big bucks, without being able to buy what you want, sometimes even suffering from cold or lack of necessity. A lot of Kolel in, the checks come late. Can't eat so good.
Can't eat?
Food stamps, is that right? Not so pleasant. But it's so. But it's good, because we know in the end that's the best life. So you have things that are pleasant and are not good. Things that are good that are not pleasant. So Yaakov Avinu says, you know what choice to make? Be like Yitzchak. Yitzchak saw Menucha, which is Torah, it's sent by Yoshua, by Yalin, Kam Ba'enet, Enet. He rested where in the Enet, in Kashel Torah, in the depths of Torah, he rested. That's the real rest. So Yitzchak saw Menucha was up, and he saw the land. He saw the Kashmiut. He saw the cars, and the clubs, and the music, and the couches, and the beaches. He saw it all.
He saw it there enough.
It ain't bad. You're not going to hear me say that. Very funny. We spent a few days in Florida. I had to go there to speak. And it was two different environments. One night I stayed down in a relatively old neighborhood, like in the 40s. And one day I stayed way up around 200 Street in one of the newer areas. One place was like the real world, downtown. And one place was, I guess, Gan Eden today. Like, you don't have to buy to go there, but just be close. There's a lot of retired people, earn their money, the guy opens the door, he brings up their groceries, there's a pool, there's a tennis court, there's a health club, there's yoga, there's this, there's shopping, you don't do much in a day, but it's very nice. Everywhere you look, it's beautiful, you come at night, everything's lit up, you come to day, everything's green and pretty, everything's landscaped. You go to your room, you get on a terrace, you look out, you see beautiful yachts and boats, everything's bright and beautiful. Color of the blue water, that greenish color of water. It's just so pretty. You go for a walk and everything smells nice and looks nice and clean.
The ego downtown is a neighborhood. There's people with baby characters, and baby crying, and he had to clean his nose because he has a cold, he's coughing, and my body doesn't stop. Change the parents of the husband and wife, they're lazy with each other. The multiple stroller with seven kids in a row, they all must be within 6 months of each other, and how they do it. And he said, this is real work. I get out of his car, there's chewing gum on his pants, he has to clean the car, it hasn't cleaned since last test, now that it's a broken down station wagon. You see two different worlds. And you say, which one is good? There's one that's pleasant, and there's one that's good. And Yaakov Avinu says, I had a son in Yisachar, and he saw Menucha, for that is good. It's tough. It's hard. But it's good. It's the true good. And he saw the beauty of this world, Aruba, Cancun, Acapulco. He saw both. You know what he decided to do? I'm going to put in the effort. I'm going to put in the sacrifice. I want good. I don't want pleasant. That's the message of Yaakov and his generation. You want to satisfy? Go for the good. Hashem says, I gave you a beautiful acquisition, one that's good. Truly good. Don't give up the Torah, don't leave it. It's the only thing that can satisfy. The only thing that can make you happy. It's the only thing that can take the food out of your pocket and put it in your mouth again, Shabbat. Only Torah. Only mitzvot. Everything else is I don't know how to translate that word. Zilch, borscht, nothing. That's what it is. And that was the philosophy of Yaakov. And when they had that, they had prosperity and they had freedom and they lived alone in Goshen and they spent their time in the depth of the Rashi who got that. And when they got very wealthy, you notice that pasuk? Jim od meod. That pasuk? We get in parasha. Jim od meod. Jim od meod. They should be the ayirgu meod meod. They became many, many times over. Od meod. What's in meod meod? With meod meod. What does that mean? It comes from the root of the Kriyat Kar, the Chol Meodecha. They got a lot of money. They became wealthy. They were influential. Shakim Aleat, they started getting the best seats at the Super Bowl. The best seats to the World Series. Season tickets to the Knicks is coming up to buy them. They had the best of everything. You go to a show, first three rows, you're your friends there. Go to a restaurant, you got the best table. There's a line, you skip the line, you go on the front, you have everything. Jim Horton orders, you know, they are so sound, the churches and the theaters. You know what? They went down, down, down. And they weren't happy. It doesn't work. It's the wrong food. The wrong place. What you have to do is understand this lesson. We are Yehudim. We have a special neshama. We look like the others. We walk like the others. We talk like the others. We go on diet like the others. We eat sushi. We do all the things that people do. We're different. You're essentially different. You're the oil, you're not the water. What you have to do is not take your own nature and float to the top. Feed your soul. Don't worry about your body. You'll take care of it. Your basics is all taken. You have to see what's good. it's really good. And when you contrast that to the Aret Yinaema with the land which is beautiful and pleasant and Disney World, you realize it's just Disney World. It doesn't work. And yet, Shechmolis world, this place, a place of work. Adam Amalila, a person was born to toil. To toil in Torah, to toil in Mitzvot, to earn here. I watch many years in business when there's a show or a market group. The person doesn't stop to eat, they don't stop to think, they don't read the newspaper, they don't watch television, they don't know nothing but work, work, work. Why? This is it! This is the show, it is all the business here. After I make the money, buy myself a fancy car, and I'll take a flight to somewhere, and I'll relax. But right now I'm working. I watch the guys work. They go to show, they go on stage, they look like dogs. But it's the show. In Europe it used to be called the elite. That's this world. The place to accomplish. You can't waste the time relaxing here. You have to know the difference between Nil Minuha and the Aret Sinai. Remember, Rachea Darchei Noam, the way that the Torah is Naim. That's the way. That's the way we have to learn. That's what we have to start. Do that song, we learn the lesson. And incorporate it into our daily life. So we can go higher and higher towards the goal of happiness and achieve that happiness by feeding our souls what it takes to make it happen.